Well, welcome everyone to the Region 3 Planning and Policy Council meeting. My name is Kirby Fye with the department. I'm listed as Amy Holland if you've joined via computer. Just a few things to go over this morning. A quick reminder to please make sure your phone or computer is muted if you aren't speaking. It gives a lot of feedback if it's not muted. Also, we have a lot of callers that have joined this morning. So if you please, could just state your name before you provide an update or ask a question, it will be extremely helpful to Rhonda when taking the minutes. Another reminder, per Governor Lee's Executive Order 60, this meeting is being recorded and it will be posted to the department website either later today or tomorrow. I'm gonna do quick attendance. First, I'm going to state the names of the individuals that have joined via computer because I can see their name. And then we'll go into the individuals who have called in. Like I said, my name's Kirby Fye. I'm with the department. I have Allie Cohn on the call, Amanda Hirschberger, Avis Easley, Brad Franks, Deanna King, Donna Maddox, Gail Lodato, Gina Turley, Kubra or Cal Bryant, Kurt Hipple, and I see Sarah with Mental Health America East Tennessee or Mental Health Association East Tennessee. What's your last name, Sarah?
Last name is Waldrop, W-A-L-D-R-O-P.
Thank you, Sarah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have a lot of callers. So the way I'm going to do this is I can see the first three digits of the area code and then the last two digits of the phone number. So please listen for your number so you can state your name. I have an area code 423 and it ends in 46.
That's Renee Hall.
Hi, Renee. I have a 423 number that ends in 40.
Hey, that's Sandon Bull, S-A-N-D-O-N-B-U-L-L.
Welcome.
Thank you.
I have a 423 number that ends in 57.
That's Rhonda.
Hey, Rhonda.
Hey.
I have a 423 number that ends in 15.
I think that might be me. I can't remember my number. It's Amy Irvin.
Hi, Amy. I can't remember my work cell phone number at all. I have a 423 number that ends in 11.
That's Nicole Bates, Region 3, Mental Health Co-op.
Hi, Nicole. I have a 423 number that ends in 74.
Rachel Hash, Mental Health Cooperative.
Hey, Rachel. I have a 615 number that ends in 08.
Hey, that's Jennifer Hennessy with North Academy.
Hi, Jennifer. I have a 615 number that ends in 38.
Hey, that's Chelsea Jones with Youth Villages.
Hi, Chelsea. And
hey.
I have a 615 number that ends in 17.
Hey, Kirby, it's Kara Coleman with Mental Health Cooperative.
Hey, Kara. And I have a 865 number that ends in 44.
This is Burke Brewer with Disability Rights Tennessee.
Welcome. That was pretty painless. I don't think someone may have just joined in. Did someone just join the call that wasn't able to state their name?
Yes, this is Connie Ramsey.
Hi, Connie. All right, Deanna, I'm handing it over to you.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Can I get a motion for the approval of the minutes from, was it July, I believe?
This is Gail. I can motion to approve.
Okay, and a second?
Second is Donna.
Thank you.
You do the motion.
And Rhonda, we can put 10:05 as the call to order. Okay, back to you, Kirby. Oh, sorry, Donna.
I need to know who did the motion to approve.
Gail and Donna.
Thank you.
No problem. And then Kirby, back to you for the department report.
Okay, let me pull this up here. We have a few updates since we last met in July. Rhonda, I'll go ahead and email these to you so that you can just copy and paste them into your minutes, because I have quite a few links in here that council members may want to click on to get more information. So I'll send these to you right after the meeting today. Our first update is year two. I know this was on the last update. I promise it's almost done. But year two of the FY 2021 three-year plan is still in progress. We had a few additions to it within the last week. So the regional council will have an opportunity to review this shortly. The FY 2021 mental health block grant application was submitted to SAMHSA on August 13th. The FY 2021 mental health block grant report is in progress. Regional councils will also have an opportunity to review this in coming weeks as well. The department and its community mental health provider partners are excited to expand the state's behavioral health safety net to uninsured children. The program offers an array of essential mental health services for uninsured Tennessee children ages 3 to 17. Services are available for family incomes at or below, 138% federal poverty level. Governor Bill Lee and the Tennessee General Assembly appropriated $7.6 million in new state funding in the current fiscal year to create the Children's Behavioral Safety Net. Services available through the Children's Behavioral Safety Net include assessment and evaluation, individual group and family therapy, case management, transportation, family support services, medication management, and pharmacy assistance and coordination. A total of 14 community mental health centers with 136 locations statewide are participating in the program. In this update, I've included a link to where you can find a children's behavioral health safety net provider in your area. It's also located on the department website under our page on the department website. The department is also expanding its school-based behavioral health liaison program to all 95 counties in the state. Governor Bill Lee budgeted and the Tennessee General Assembly appropriated an increase of $3 million for the current fiscal year to expand the program. School-based behavioral health liaisons provide face-to-face consultation with classroom teachers who enhance learning environments for children who have or are at risk for serious emotional disturbance, behavior problems, or substance use disorders. Liaisons also provide training and education for classroom teachers and serve as a link between schools and families. Currently, liaisons serve elementary, middle, and high schools in 36 counties. In FY20, liaisons served about 7,500 children and youth and 2,500 teachers. Liaisons also held more than 11,000 individual counseling sessions and 7,300 individual consultations. The Tennessee Recovery Navigators are celebrating two successful years of connecting people who come into emergency rooms with treatment for substance use disorder. Navigators are individuals with lived experience of addiction and at least 2 years in recovery who are able to use their history to relate to the patients they meet. Since the program started in June 2018, the Tennessee Recovery Navigators have interfaced with 3,776 people in ERs. In FY20, 77% of the patients who met with a navigator were placed into treatment. Navigators are employed by 8 community agencies spread across the state. In 2 years, the reach of the program has grown to 38 hospitals in 21 Tennessee counties. When it began, the program focused on emergency room patients who survived an opioid overdose. However, as it grew, the program's scope expanded to include people presenting in active withdrawal or with a primary substance use disorder. There's a new report that was published by the department that details the successes of the Tennessee Recovery Navigator Program, which also includes testimonials and data, and that's available on the Tennessee website at www.tn.gov/recoverynavigators. On October 1st, and I do believe this was shared via email, so many of you may have already received this update. But on October 1st, 2020, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, through the Health Resources and Services Administration, announced $20 billion new dollars for providers on the front lines of the coronavirus pandemic. Under this phase three general distribution allocation, providers that have already received provider relief fund payments will be invited to apply for additional funding that considers financial losses and changes in operating expenses caused by the coronavirus. Additionally, previously ineligible providers, such as those who began practicing in 2020, will also be invited to apply. The deadline for the application is Friday, November 6th. More information can be found on the Health and Human Services website, which is www.hhs.gov. I have the full link that would take you right to the application process, but it's really lengthy, so I can't read it off, but it's included in my update so that you can click on it. And my last update, the department has secured an additional $7.2 million in federal grant funding to respond to mental health and addiction concerns caused by COVID-19 and recent natural disasters. SAMHSA has awarded the department an additional $3.5 million to continue to address mental health concerns caused by COVID-19. This funding supplements a previous grant of almost $1 million. Crisis counseling services through this program are now available in all 95 counties. SAMHSA also awarded the department $3.7 million to respond to the mental health effects of flooding in 2019. In February and March 2019, 59 Tennessee counties sustained significant damage from severe weather, and FEMA responded with a disaster declaration. Funding under this grant will support mental health crisis services, behavioral health safety net services, and substance abuse treatment and recovery services. And I have a link that you can click on that shows if your county was affected and if you're eligible for this funding. That's part of my update. And that is what I have.
Great. Thank you, Kirby. Any questions for Kirby before we move into committee reports? Okay, great. Let's move to adult committee. Connie, if you are prepared to give us that update.
My internet is down. I can't get to my notes. Donna, would you care to, and I didn't get to attend the meeting, and Donna did. Donna, would you mind giving an update?
Hey, I would be happy to, Connie, yeah. Hey, everybody, this is Donna. And our group did, our Adult Services Committee, we had a call on October the 6th, and we had four people in attendance, which we really appreciated that. We concentrated on our purpose, which is to work on the needs assessment throughout the year, by identified gaps and needs in the region and gather data and be prepared to submit a solid proposal by April. And we had other people that had conflicts with the meeting, but we are still feeling like we need to hear from more voices. And in order to do that, we started talking about needs, and we all quickly identified that we thought the current needs certainly are needs driven due to the environment that COVID has placed us in. We've been very reactive to the situation of COVID and the prevention response to COVID and the prevention of COVID, and that we do believe and are very hopeful that post-pandemic, the needs will look different. But even in the interim time before a vaccine comes online and things kind of stabilize, you know, what those needs are. But we sat together and just in a quick brainstorming session, identified five needs right off the bat that we felt were, universal. Lack of culture. I'll just give you a couple of them. Lack of culturally diverse providers in our area. Of course, the need for continued telehealth coverage, which is approved under executive order through the end of December, but the needs as we go through the winter. One that I think was particularly insightful with consumers with Medicare, specifically identified as having barriers to substance abuse, IOP, and inpatient care. But even with outpatient care, the recognition that we have a lack of providers, or would say that those that serve the mental health Medicare consumer population is scarce at best, if not even a non-existent at some agencies. And this leaves both a senior and a disabled population oftentimes, you know, at high risk. So based upon just those things, we kept thinking, well, we need to have a more comprehensive list of needs. So we put a little action plan together. We're going to produce a SurveyMonkey instrument. We will ask Rhonda, as our Region 3 Secretary to the Council, to distribute it to the full membership, and then ask our membership to respond between November the 9th and the 20th. And then the adult committee will get back together to review and group like responses and come up with some priorities based upon the number that's been submitted. We need to then look at the current three-year plan for similarities of needs and things that are already there, and then come back at our January meeting for additional input, and then start on the data collection between the January and the spring session. So that's kind of our work plan for the adult committee. But, you know, and that, this was Debbie, Kara Coleman, Rachel Geringer, and myself. But we would love to have more participants. And another thing that has come up, one that has been added to recently, of course, it was health disparities. So that's something else that came to attention also.
Okay, great. Thank you, Donna, so much. Any questions for Donna? Okay, Amy with Child and Adolescent Committee.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, everybody. So I just want to say my profound gratitude to everybody that's come in to our meetings and attending regularly. We have got an exciting group of participants, a lot of new faces coming to the committee, and we're just really kind of enthusiastic and, you know, about our new focus, just like Donna was describing, which is, of course, you know, developing the needs assessment and identifying the needs and the data to back that up. We meet monthly. So if anybody wants to join, we meet monthly at the same Thursday of this meeting, which is the third Thursday of the month at 9 a.m. So then we can also meet before this meeting. So we did meet this morning, and we've been meeting monthly on the third Thursday. We've had lots of discussions to kind of decide, hey, are we on the right track with what our needs are, our recommendations? Our two needs that we submitted this year earlier were to find out whether or not the need exists for more behavioral respite providers for children and adolescents. Many children and families are in crisis due to emotional and behavioral needs. And so families often come to us as providers saying, I give up. I don't know what to do. Please take my kid. They enter custody. They enter you know, psychiatric or and inundate the mobile crisis system. And we wonder if more behavioral health respite providers and support services is something that is a need. And so we're not sure. And so we're working to kind of identify the data and what's out there. Our substance abuse need is whether or not the need exists for more adolescent-specific recovery programs, recovery support, rather. There are lots of adolescent-specific treatment providers in our area, and we love our partners and working together with them. But then, you know, once they complete that treatment, what do those supports look like specific for adolescents? And so we're starting to kind of nail down the list of the current providers for both of those needs. And our next step is to now identify, you know, what's out there, you know, who's providing them, what is their scope, what is the, eligibility requirements, payment requirements. Are there any barriers? Where are they physically located? Do we have gaps in terms of, you know, areas served? So we're going to go ahead and compile that list, and we're going to do sort of an interview where everybody's kind of got their provider that they're going to contact, and we're going to gather information from the current providers that are out there and sort of compile a list of, okay, this is what's out there. This is what's serving our region. one of the big barriers we realize that I think is also important to all of us on this in this meeting is Region 3 is huge. I don't think I quite realized that, but again, we looked at the map and said, wow, our Region 3 goes all the way up to the Kentucky state line. And so one of our big barriers, of course, is we have great representation from the Southeast Tennessee area, but we know that we need to kind of find out what our partners are to the north of us. And so that's something we're going to be working on as well. We're not going to meet in November because we've got our assignments. And so we're going to give us some time to kind of work through our assignments. And hopefully in December, we're going to have a good list and an understanding of what's currently out there so that we can start to, you know, synthesize that and put that into the recommendation for what we think we need.
Thank you. And Amy, as you were talking, I wonder, you know, we have several mental health providers on this call. And so if you guys know your counterparts in like the Cookeville offices, maybe connect Amy with those individuals so that she can email them and let them know of the virtual meeting times.
Absolutely. And I would just think, you know, that Connie and Donna would say the same for the adult, you know, that like, it's okay, you know, as a provider, you know, we appreciate you providing on our local here and our little meetings that we're having, but, you know, we do need that support from the others. So if there is a counterpart, you know, all the way up, you know, basically along the Cumberland Plateau, we would love to have those folks join us.
Good stuff. Any questions for Amy and the Child and Adolescent Committee? Okay, Nicole or Brad, do you guys have a legislative update?
Yes, this is Nicole. So one of the things that I did want to just discuss is all the adult and the CNA committee kind of feeds the legislative committee meeting. And so we have not met yet as the identified items that the adult committee as well as the child and adolescent committee kind of identify. We will work with them collaboratively to identify which items out of their needs assessment do we see as possible legislative needs. The telemedicine, we had discussed that previously, that the telemedicine as a continued support mechanism for behavioral health care going forward and the continuation of that was one of the recommendations and the discussion points that we've had in the past. And so I know that that would be a continued point of, you know, point that we would want to see continued. The other thing that I would say is that we've identified and kind of, I'm not sure that we have a resolution to, is the need for some data and kind of more timely data so that we could truly identify gaps and where there's needs that we really need to focus our efforts. And so I think that that is one of the kind of still follow-up items is to try to attempt to obtain real-time data as much as we can so that we can identify where there are gaps currently in our processes in our region. And that's all
okay.
I have to ask.
Okay, great. Any questions for Nicole?
Nicole, this is Amy. Do you think that it might be worthwhile to have you or some of your representatives attending our meeting? That way you can kind of like sit in on what we're doing and we can maybe, you know, keep you guys, you know, with the minutes and that kind of thing, you know, just to kind of keep keyed into what we're doing. I'd be happy to share information with you guys.
Yeah, that's a great idea because I think what I have been doing is just kind of waiting for the out, you know what I mean? Like waiting for your reports and waiting for the identified issues. But I think that may be a good approach going forward because I was struggling with how to get to the level of detail with each of the committees. So perhaps if the information could be shared with me, then I could, you know, kind of work with the group and then from the legislative perspective, then take the identified things forward. That may be a good approach.
Nicole, do you mind to remind me of your last name?
Bates, B-A-T-E-S.
Perfect. Thank you.
Same with the adult committee. If that information is shared with me, I could do the same because that way we could identify the areas of focus from the legislative perspective.
Great. Thank you so much, everyone. Okay, if we don't have anything else related to committee reports, thank you, team. Let's move to provider and community announcements. So do we have anyone from any of our hospitals on the call?
Hey, this is Handen with Erlanger Behavioral Health. I had an update.
Okay, great. Go for it.
I'm attending for Eve since she was out today, but our intensive outpatient program has kind of switched gears in response to COVID. So it is all telehealth now, but we do provide medication management along with that. So that is an adult mood disorder IOP. It meets all through Ring Central, and we do the assessments through Ring Central as well. And we take almost all insurances. Of course, Medicare doesn't pay for IOP. And I think we're not contracted with Amerigroup, but we can take almost anything else.
Okay, thank you. Any other hospital? Oh, yeah, any questions for him? Okay, any other hospitals on the call? Parkridge or Valley. Okay. Any updates for mental health? Just start talking after one another. Introduce yourself. Please keep it brief. And then when it sounds like we don't have any more updates, we'll move on to CAB.
This is Jen Talbert with Spiro Health. Just want to let you guys know that we are seeing patients either in person or telehealth, whatever meets that individual need. And something that we have just started doing also is Sublocade. We are now offering the Sublocade injections in addition to Vivitrol injections and the Suboxone. So just want to let you all know that. And, of course, we are in network with all three of the MCOs for 10 Care.
This is Nicole Bates with Mental Health Co-op. I would also just like to say we are beginning to see the need to kind of interact at a face-to-face level with our consumers. There for a while, the option had great success, but now I think we've identified that we're really needing to get back out into the community. And so our case managers have started doing face-to-face visits, and so we're offering face-to-face visits for our case management, and we are still doing both televideo and face-to-face for med management appointments. And psych eval with our psychiatrist. And also, we are still accepting referrals for our new ACT team. Again, that is for homeless individuals, 18 years of older with SDMI, frequent utilizers of hospital services, along with justice involvement. If you have any questions, please feel free to reach out.
Hi, this is Gail Lodato with Helen Ross McNabb. I'm echoing what my colleagues are saying. We continue to provide face-to-face. We continue services both out in the community and in each of our clinic locations, in addition to telemedicine as needed and appropriate. If anyone is working with a pregnant female, who is struggling with opioid addiction. We have some room in our Silver Linings program at our adult center in our intensive outpatient program to assist them. And we are moving along with our preschool, therapeutic preschool IOP, but just a reminder that if anyone's aware or working with a child ages 4 to 6 who's struggling with some processing of a trauma, we are available to help them in that program as well.
Okay. Cab. Connie, is that still you?
Yes, ma'am. This past Thursday, we had our CPRS conference, our annual conference. It was virtual. We did it by Zoom, had our breakout sessions and everything. We had Brad Schmidt as our keynote speaker, and it really went very well to be virtual, and we'd never done it that way before. And so it took a lot of extra preparation and a lot of planning, but we feel like it was a big success. Everybody was really, really enjoyed it. And it was a whole lot better than we imagined a virtual conference being. And so we did that this last Thursday, and we're gonna probably start this next month working on next year, hopefully to be face-to-face next year.
Hey, this is Jen. I attended that CPRS conference as well, and I want to tell you, I've attended a lot of virtual conferences this year, and I'm serious. This was the best that I have attended this year. The format, the setup, just everything, it was really, honestly, the best. So kudos. Y'all's hard work, it really paid off. It was great.
So much.
Good stuff. I love to hear when virtual is successful and those events can get pulled off really well. I think that, you know, just as much work goes into making sure that a virtual event is as professional and fun and engaging. So great job, Connie. Okay. Do we have anyone on? Oh, go ahead.
We're talking about possibly continuing to have a virtual component to it, because there are a lot of our CPRSs that actually can't make the trip, can't afford the lodging, can't afford the trip, you know, and those kind of things. And a lot of those people got to attend, so we had a much higher attendance. And some of them were like, please do this again. So we will be considering that.
Yeah, it definitely takes out barriers for a lot of people to still be able to attend. So that's great. Okay, anyone on from United Healthcare Community Plan?
Yes, hello. This is Kibrana Kalbrian from United Healthcare Community Plan. Hello, everybody. I miss you all. I miss faces. We are just working very closely with TennCare and following their guidance on how to go through this pandemic. So if you have any questions, if you need to be in touch with somebody from United Healthcare, please email me. I will contact you to the right person who can answer all your questions for you. Please don't hesitate to contact us. And I'm also the community support person for United Healthcare Community Plan. So if you have any events going on, any needs you have in the community for sponsorships, events, if you need event suggestions, physical help with putting on an event. Most of them are virtual now. I haven't been to any event that is not virtual since March, but I am here to help. Let us know if we can help you out with anything in one of your community events.
Thank you. Anyone on from Blue Care, TennCare Select? Okay, I feel like we went through that really quick. So anybody that I missed that has an announcement, that would, or any questions?
This is Amy Irvin, and I don't know, we had a couple of folks that were in the meeting this morning that may or may not be on this call now, but they did send me some updates and some announcements, one from Health Connect America about their ABA services and a neat recycling program that they're offering for electronics that is putting folks with autism to work, which is really cool. And then Teresa Jorgensen from Caregiver Program Supports also giving us information about students who need tutoring at Sylvan is being paid for through their program. They have limited slots, but you know, caregivers who are taking care of children under the age of 18 with a need for tutoring, probably more in the Chattanooga area. So they did send me some information, and I can get that out to Rhonda to get to the large group.
You read my mind. Thank you.
Deanna, this is Gail. I have something else. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
We're working closely with Hamilton County Department of Education, as are a couple other community mental health centers. And one of the things they're doing, the last report made me remember, one of the things they're doing is education well checks for those students that are either homeschooled but still connected to the Department of Education, or doing virtual learning. And they are receptive to anybody who is working with a Hamilton County student who has a release to communicate with the school to be the one to do those education well checks and then report back to the Department of Education. As you can imagine, it's a lot of kids, and they're struggling to figure out how they're going to engage with those students that are not coming to the building on a daily basis. So if anyone's interested in getting some more information on that, if you let me know, I'll connect you with John Cunningham.
Okay. Please remember to send your updates to Rhonda so she can get them in the minutes. Our next meeting will be January 14th, location to be determined. But I think we all have a feeling of how this year slash life is going, but we will keep you updated on announcements from the governor, and Kirby will definitely be keeping us posted on the formatting. So just keep your eyes open on your email. I'm going to adjourn this meeting. It is 10:43. If you guys have any questions, please reach out to us, but have a great day and a great week.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, all.
Bye, thank you.